What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
We need like some lottery update music as long as this shtick keeps going on.
Oh my goodness, I know.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, so the Powerball jackpot rose to $1.9 billion over the weekend, setting another record after no player won the grand prize in the last drawing. After Saturday's drawing, so many people were trying to check their numbers online that the Powerball.com website even crashed. Damn. It's still down as of this afternoon, or at least when I wrote this, with nothing but a homepage listing Saturday's winning numbers and the new jackpot estimate. But Saturday's drawing was the 40th in a row without someone winning the top prize, and as of this morning, the actual cash value of the $1.9 billion jackpot would be roughly $929.1 million. And the next drawing is tonight at 8 o'clock.
All right. So earlier today, I took my Powerball ticket that had 10 plays on it into the same liquor store where I bought it. I did not look at any of the numbers. I had no idea what the winning numbers were, and I didn't know what any of the numbers were on my ticket. I handed it to the guy, George, the guy who sold it to me. I said, would you put it through the machine and check it? Of course, I was anticipating winning. Zero. Got nothing. I mean, not one number did I get right. So now, today, George, I have changed my strategy because the guy said to me, he goes, well, wait a second. He goes, you're not going to buy $20 worth of tickets today? I'm like, oh, I forgot. Today's the drawing. Okay, there's another one. So, George, today I've changed my whole strategy. Mm-hmm. I have four tickets where I've chosen the numbers, and I have six tickets where I've let the computer choose the numbers.
Right.
Whereas under normal circumstances, I just let the computer pick 10 tickets, $20. Yep. I've got four that I've chosen on my own, numbers that I hand select.
See, I only do that with two. I do two tickets that I choose the numbers, and then the rest I'll just go, you know, the other rest of the $20, I'll just let them ride.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, George, that I have a couple of lines here that I think are winners. Here goes. 9, 10, 17, 23, and 52, with the power number of 19, could be a winner. And here's a really strange one for you. I picked this one out. I think this one has a very good chance as well. Listen to the low numbers. 2, 3, 4, 9, and 39 with a power number of 7. I've gone into a lot of single digits, Georgie, except number 39. So I've got a whole new strategy, and yet again, I do expect to win this lottery.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad. I hope you win.
Now, I hope you get off the air this evening because we have this Lakers game. We get out a little early today.
Yeah. I got to run over to, speaking of the Lakers, I got to run to the Lakers facility because I'm calling G League Ignite versus the South Bay Lakers, and you're probably wondering, why am I calling a G League game? It's because Scoot Henderson, the guy who's supposed to be the number two pick behind Victor Wembanyama, those two guys are clear number one and number two, is going to be playing here in El Segundo tonight.
You just said that way, like, why would I call a G League game, like, as if, you know.
No, it's not beneath me.
G League games.
You're probably wondering, why are you going to a G League game? You're always at, like, an NBA game. But I'm telling you, it's because the number two pick in the draft is going to be on out there, and he's averaging like 25 points a game already in two games.
Will you be able to stop along the way and get some lottery tickets?
Yeah. I got time.
What time's the game?
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. You better hustle, pal.
Yeah, El Segundo. It's like 25 minutes away.
All right. Get them tickets, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I was going to get it earlier when I went to shoot around and saw my friend Miles Simon, who was the coach of the South Bay Lakers. Used to be on Frank Vogel's staff many years ago. Here with the Lakers, with the championship squad. Mm-hmm. But I forgot. So,
yeah. Not me. I took my tickets in. I had the machine look to see if I was a big winner. Mm-hmm. I was not. And thankfully, I was prompted by my guy who sold me 20 more tickets or $20 worth of tickets. I'm $60 into this lottery now, George.
Yeah. All right.
$60 to win $1.9 billion?
I mean, it's worth it.
It's worth the try.
If you end up winning, I mean, it works itself out, sure. So.
Good luck to us.
That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Now, I will be in South Carolina this weekend calling a college football game. So, you know, that's one of those anonymous states.
What game are you calling there?
It's an HBCU championship game, championship game.
Who's playing it, you know?
It is Tuskegee versus Benedict.
I got Benedict minus the 3.5.
I don't even know what there's a line, but I mean,
yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty cool. Like I've never been to a HBCU championship game, so I would imagine the vibe is going to be pretty fun.
I would guess so.
In Columbia, South Carolina, so that's where I'll be on Saturday. But again, an anonymous lottery state.
I think the lottery will be won before then.
Could you imagine if it's not? It'll probably be like $2.5 billion by then.
Oh yeah, Then I'll be maybe $100 into this lottery.
There you go. All right. Who are you more mad at, Sean McVay or Anthony Davis right now, after this first hour of show that we just did?
I would say that I'm probably more mad at Anthony Davis, not because of anything Anthony Davis did or didn't do. It's just that the anger that you have spewed towards Anthony Davis here today. Now, the early anger towards Sean McVay.
It's not anger. I wouldn't confuse
what
it.
What would you call it?
It's
disappointment?
No. Disappointment is McVay, clearly.
Okay, gotcha.
I would say it's just angst already. Like, come on, man. Like, you're capable of this.
But George, physical capability versus what is in somebody's brain and in somebody's heart, these are different things. You know, when you have all the physical ability, that's great. But do you have the heart to be the leader, the guy, the number one, the alpha dog, etc., any other thing you want to come up with? And the truth of the matter is this. Anthony Davis has not been asked to be that guy because he's been LeBron's number two. So what you're doing is you're saying, hey, look, you've been the number two, but now we want you to be the number one. But the guy who's been the number one all along is still here. I think that we're underestimating how hard it might be for Anthony Davis to be the number one. If if he has what it takes to be a number one, which frankly, I don't think he does, but that's me. He can prove me wrong.
How can Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic and Giannis be a number one?
Okay, well, who is the number two on their respective teams? Go through the names.
Chris Middleton.
Okay, so not a superstar like LeBron.
In Philadelphia is James Harden.
Not a superstar like LeBron.
Well, I mean, he's an MVP. Like, what are you talking about?
But George, but he doesn't have the overbearing presence that LeBron James has. Can we not at least agree on that?
You don't think that James Harden? What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm calling a timeout because I know you're going to get frustrated, and I already hear Laura going, James Harden and LeBron James are not on the same planet.
Well, no, but I would also say, if anything, it's harder to play with James Harden than LeBron James, because James Harden historically has been a guy who handles the ball a lot more, and isn't, while he gets assist numbers, is a guy that pounds the air out of the ball, is probably the best way to say it.
What I'm saying is that LeBron is an overbearing personality, and he's so much bigger than James Harden.
Wait, come on, man. Don't, that's so stupid. Like, I'm sorry.
Why?
Overbearing person? Wait, you're blaming LeBron James
for
Anthony Davis' shortcomings? Like, what are we talking about here?
I'm not blaming LeBron James.
Yes, you are. You're doing that. LeBron is such an overbearing personality. Dude, you either got it or you don't, bro.
Okay, hold on. So time out. Does Anthony Davis have it or does he not have it, smart guy?
He needs to find out. We need to find out right now.
You tell me you don't have enough of a sample size to know whether or not Anthony Davis does or not, does not have what it takes to be a number one leader of a team?
This is it. There is no more after this year. This is it. And as a matter of fact, I just said, if you listen in the last damn segment, I said that you got a very short window here to figure that out.
Well, come on, man. I mean, listen, he's been in the NBA for how many years now? 10 years? 9 years? What we're just now going to try and figure out, he either does or he doesn't. In my opinion, he does not. How about
why
you?
Why are you blaming LeBron, though?
I'm not blaming LeBron.
You can't be. And
okay,
I'm not
go ahead. Go ahead, Laura. Explain
she hates LeBron.
I don't hate him.
Explain how I'm blaming LeBron. I want to know how I'm blaming him.
Here's my thing. So I'm not a big LeBron fan. Everybody knows this, you know. So for me to be like, it's not him. My thing is, you are correct. Either he has it or he doesn't. But regardless of whatever Bron is or who he is, which is a superstar, that can't, if you got it, you're going to have it no matter who's around you. So you saying like, oh, you got the best player, so because of that, this guy hasn't gone above what he needs to do to be a number one, that's dumb.
Hold on. Before you knock me with name calling.
Okay, I'm sorry dumb. That I called
okay,
you
I'm,
dumb.
I'm,
but it's
listen
like,
to me,
it
Laura,
is
Laura,
kind of
hold
dumb.
On, hold on. I'll put my resume on the table all day long.
Yeah, I don't got one, so, you know.
Listen to me. I have been around long enough to have an opinion, which is very simple. LeBron James is an overbearing personality. And I don't just mean him saying what he says in a locker room. He's a billionaire. It's his agency that represents all these guys. It's the business that he's in with the Lakers. If the Lakers are all about winning and LeBron James is your number one chip, and he's gotten older and he doesn't look the same that he used to look, why are you still having him on your team? Because it's a business relationship between the two parties.
So how is that?
Wait, when you're a player...
Let me jump in. So you're telling me because LeBron James is a billionaire, because LeBron James has won championships, because LeBron James is one of the best players to ever play the game, that that is the reason Anthony Davis can't ascend to being the number one player? That that's at least part of the reason?
Or anybody else that would ever be on the same roster?
No, tell me where I'm wrong.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's silly.
Then what you're saying
is that Anthony Davis definitively does not have it to do that.
Because, not on this team. And by the way, I wouldn't think he would have it on any team.
If you're an alpha, you're an alpha, bro. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't buy that for 1 second.
Okay, well, listen.
You're either an alpha or you're a beta. And what you're saying is he's a beta then.
Yeah, but aren't you saying that as well?
I'm starting to feel that way, yes.
Well, listen.
But I'm not blaming LeBron for that. I'm blaming him for that.
But guys, you're hearing me wrong. I'm not blaming LeBron.
But no, you are.
George, I'm simply making the case that LeBron James, because of who he is, it would be impossible, not unlikely, impossible for anybody to be the number one on his team.
Disagree.
Okay. Hey, disagreeing is fine. Name calling is out of line.
Oh, come on. No.
I called it dumb. That's why.
And listen, it's an opinion, okay? And it's a qualified one.
What's so qualified about it?
Because I know sports.
You know nothing. You can't even handle the truth.
I'm a basketball expert.
You're an outsider by trade.
I know more about the NBA than anybody on this radio station.
I have forgotten more in my pinky than you'll ever know.
You're the crumb of a nacho.
You're a crumb of a nacho. That's correct.
And an LA radio hack, I'll have you know.
Actually, to quote him properly, you're not even the crumb of a nacho.
But I'm not dumb. It's just an opinion.
What about in 2020, though, when Anthony Davis was MVP of the finals?
Well, he wasn't the MVP of the finals, but he was the best player.
How about that?
He was the best player.
How about that MVP?
He was the best player.
He led every category but assists.
He was the number one, I think, in that series. Would you disagree? In the entire playoff run,
I would say.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis.
It's been done, is all I'm saying. He's done it.
All I'm saying is that right now, he don't want the ball. He don't want to shoot the ball. He don't want to get the ball, especially
the heat,
in crunch
Cappy.
Time.
He can't handle the heat.
He can't handle the truth.
He doesn't want the heat. That's why. But that has nothing to do with LeBron. And that's a lot coming from me.
No, I see it differently. Now, you're right and I'm wrong, of course, right?
But I'm also not in the league, nor qualified, nor does my resume give me any, because I'm not a sports analyst. So, you know, you guys can take my little opinion.
See the difference? That's why mine's not dumb.
I didn't say you were dumb.
No, you said my opinion was dumb.
I said the take on it. Because I just don't see why someone being successful and great at what he does outshines
someone
else.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's say you're in the room with, name me the most successful talk show host in the country.
Most successful radio talk show host in the country?
Whoever you want. Yeah, sports, non-sports, whatever.
I don't know. Pick a name, George. Dan Patrick. How about that?
Okay. Dan Patrick. Are you saying that because Dan Patrick is that, like, if you were doing a show with Dan Patrick, like,
yeah, I'd have to yield to Dan Patrick. I'd have to be his number two.
You wouldn't be able to flourish to the point where, let's say, like, he has openly said, okay, Dan Patrick said, you know what? I really want to pass the torch to Cappy for 2 years. Okay. For 2 years. That's what he said. And then you don't rise to the occasion.
But George.
That's Dan Patrick's fault?
But George, I have the heart of a champion.
You do?
Yeah. I have what it takes emotionally to take over the team. Does Anthony Davis? Yeah. Hell yeah. You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, come on. I'll flip it on you. If hypothetically Dan Le Batard says, sit down, George, in 2 years, you're going to be the guy. Can you flourish in that environment?
No question. I put Dan in his place all the time.
Do you yield to who he is when you join his show?
No, when I come to his show, if he comes to me and says, I want you to be part of the show, then I'm like, you gotta let me do what I do.
Okay. Anthony Davis is being allowed to do what he does, which is not take the ball in the fourth quarter and not shoot it.
Yeah, but that's his fault. It's no one else's fault but his.
I can't believe you guys think I'm blaming LeBron.
I mean,
I'm not blaming LeBron.
I don't even want to ask Lindsay, because if she agrees with us, then you're really going to be upset.
No, I'm not going to be upset, because I'll tell you right now. Here's what's going to happen. It always goes that way.
No, I'm not really worried about it.
But I'm telling you right now, he's overwhelmed. And by the way, let me ask you this: Is LeBron James currently playing for the Lakers in pursuit of a championship?
Is what?
Is LeBron James currently playing for the Lakers in pursuit of a championship?
Oh, I told you at the beginning of the season he knew this team wasn't winning a championship as currently constituted.
Okay, so LeBron James is playing for the Lakers. Why? I mean, is he now...
He's under contract. That's
no, but is he in constant pursuit of a championship?
I think at the beginning of the season, he feels that way. And then real quick, he's like, he's been around too long to know what if a team's got it or not. Right. And so, by the way, actually, you know what? I would even say during the preseason, he realized that this team doesn't got it. Hence why he made the Lakers comment that he did.
Listen,
but what does that have to do with what we're talking about with Anthony Davis?
Well, because LeBron James is on the Lakers and re-signed with the Lakers, mm-hmm. not necessarily in pursuit of a championship, but it's what's right for his business.
Is and by the same token... Right, but if you look at it historically, the Lakers only go so often, just like the Yankees, they only go so often without winning championships, so you're entrusting a historic franchise to eventually do what they generally do, which is get it right.
Yeah, well, LeBron James is in business with the Lakers, and the Lakers are in business with LeBron James, and that business is not of winning championships right now.
Well, not with this roster, that's for sure.
And everybody knows it.
Oh, well, he knew it at day one.
So maybe we shouldn't be talking about trading Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook. Should I even say it?
They can't trade LeBron because he just signed an extension, so he's not allowed to
Right, you
to
couldn't trade
until
next year anyway. So that
well,
yeah, by
well,
rule,
let's just say you could. Would you not be thinking about that?
I mean, if it's
I know
that
you're
going to
say you can't, but you know.
If it's bad, if it's so bad, yeah, I think that you come to him and say, hey, bro, we'll trade you wherever you want to go. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you'd have to consider that, but you can't do it till next year anyway.
But I'm just saying that I don't think he would do it, and I don't think they would do it. You know why? Because they are codependent business partners. That's why.
I think he would do it.
Yeah?
100%.
Well, there's a reason he's only got a 1-1 when he signed the extension.
I can't believe you guys think I'm blaming LeBron.
Jeez, it did sound that way.
No, it's
I mean,
not
do you want to make
it
3-for-3 and see if Lindsay thinks so?
No, it doesn't matter because Lindsay's just, you know, pro LeBron everything. You guys just don't hear what I'm trying to say to you.
But we get what you're trying to say. We just disagree. That's
right. It just sounds like you're blaming him.
I honestly don't really know the case that you're trying to make, Cap. I don't really get what the correlation is.
You're saying
he's too big of a personality to be able to be the number one on that team. I think that's nonsense.
I don't think Anthony Davis.
Especially when he's literally said, go be the number one.
Well, but he's not that kind of personality, Anthony Davis, in my opinion.
Okay, but that's a different thing. Conversation, and that's what we're telling you.
But what I'm saying is I don't think anybody on any team could ever be a number one when LeBron James is on that team.
Okay. Even though he's saying, go be the number one.
Well, just because he's saying it, I'm just saying, who has ever been a number one?
Of course, he's been the best player on the planet until like last year when he finally we saw that he was human.
Yeah.
And that he couldn't carry any team to the finals anymore.
And when you have that guy on your team and he's in your locker room, nobody's becoming the number one. He's the number one.
Well, the problem is you've never seen it before. So you're assuming.
Bro, they've traded the farm for Anthony Davis. No, that was the plan all along, Cap. Like, how do you not understand that part of it?
It's not about not understanding it. It's about looking at the facts. He's not that guy.
Okay. But now, maybe now you can make that determination. But my point is they know he's got the skill set to do it. They're trying to bring it out of him because they've already made the huge investment. All of them. The
skill
Lakers,
set in the
LeBron,
first half.
All of them. What?
Skill set in the first half.
Well, definitely down the fourth quarter, that's for sure. At least not recently.
I love the passion of this argument.
Yeah, we're way over the break, though. Laura's
way
gonna
over.
Kill us. Yeah. Laura, I'm sorry.
Laura, what happened? Why didn't you tell us the break? You're usually so adamant.
Because, you know what? I wanted you to get your thought process out, and then, you know, because then you blame me for cutting you off.
Yeah, so, that's true. You do blame her.
I do?
You do? Yeah.
No, I don't.
Quick trigger on Laura.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
I disagree.
All right, let's break
down. Well, we disagree with your disagreement.
I figured as much.
All right. The Raiders. You think this is bad? This is just like... one of these shows where we're just going to, what is it that you do on
Seinfeld?
We're
just
going to
just destroy everybody that we talk about.
No, what was it on Seinfeld? Airing of grievances. This is the Raiders. We have airing of grievances and we're not alone because one of their own has done the same. We'll get to that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Butts and I cannot lie.
Yeah.
You mother... Nine. When I work my... In your face, you get...
You know, I'm hearing from people in the community about this argument that we're having about AD and whether or not he has it or he doesn't have it. My point about LeBron being an overwhelming personality. Some agree, some disagree. But once somebody said in the community, George, that LeBron has served as a number two on a team before when Kobe showed up for the Redeem team.
That's fair.
It is, but it was a very different time. Kobe was the one that everybody was intimidated by, and LeBron was a much younger guy. You know what LeBron should have done yesterday against Cleveland? He should have done what Kobe did at the beginning of those Olympics when Kobe told everybody that he's going to go find his guy and he's going to run right through him. Remember that?
He should have ran through Kevin Love is what
he
you're saying?
He should have found Kevin Love and told everybody on the team, that's my boy, but I'm going to show you how much I want to win, and I'm going to show you what I'm all about. Just the same way Kobe did that to Powell, LeBron should have showed everybody, I'm going to run through Kevin Love because I care about winning.
Kevin Love was terrible.
Kevin Love, big threat there, big threat.
Kevin Love was one of six to start the game, if I recall correctly.
It's not about whether or not he was going to shoot well or not. It was about making a statement.
That's the only guy on the team that he's like friends with, too.
Yeah, he doesn't know any of those other guys, actually.
I did meet Evan Mobley on Saturday night.
I know, and you gave him, did you give him the flu?
I didn't give him the flu, and I haven't gotten the flu yet, so hopefully okay. Neither of us gave it to each other.
Sick. Yeah. Did you give him a little kiss on the cheek?
Listen, Evan Mobley's a nice guy, you know, but the thing is that you can feel very safe, George, when you're in the AD suite at USC. So whether it's Carson Palmer or Anthony Munoz or Coach John Robinson or Evan Mobley or any of the other USC dignitaries that were there, mm-hmm. when they come into the suite, no matter who you are, mm-hmm. everybody feels very safe, including mm-hmm. Evan Mobley, who, you know, we had a nice discussion about chocolate ice cream.
Chocolate ice cream.
Well, he was eating chocolate ice cream, and I wanted some. I was like, yo, where'd you get that? He's like, back there. I'm like, nice talking to you.
That was a nice conversation.
Yeah, it was very
really?
Very
that's all you
now.
Talked to him about?
He's very close now. Wow. Yeah. Nah, he was with his people, you know. I was with my people, too. You so if he wanted to come over and interrupt and say, hey, man, I wanted to just chat with you a little bit, I'd have broken away, but, you know, I didn't want to.
Yeah, it didn't seem like you wanted that.
Nah. No, I was happy talking to the old guys. I was happy talking to Anthony Munoz, Coach John Robinson. I was happy talking to
Well, those
to the
are
old
your
guys.
Guys.
Those are the old guys. I like
I mean, what do
guys.
You have in common with Evan Mobley?
Not much, really, other than chocolate ice cream.
Right, clearly.
You know?
So, there's that.
You could have been like, you know, my producer, Lindsay, is a big Cavs fan, and she's going to the game tomorrow. Are you guys going to win?
You want to know something, Lindsay? I now have somebody that I'm very close with that is in the Cavs front office.
That's cool.
Yeah, I met this gentleman. I won't say names, but I met him at that USC game on Saturday night.
I'm probably know who you're talking about.
I'm sure you can figure it out. But what an interesting story of a guy who was a sports broadcaster.
Yeah.
Went to law school, got a job in an organization, and has elevated to one of the top front office executives. What a cool story.
Yeah.
Now one of my BFFs. I could text him right now for tickets to the Clipper game tonight if I wanted to.
There you go. Why don't
That's
you do
how
it?
Close we are.
You should.
I don't know, Laura.
Hey,
does the boo want,
by the
does,
way, all
does the boo want to go?
All the actual tickets mm-hmm. go through my friend, and he was getting blown up with texts today, ticket requests from everybody. I'll tell him, heard. Oh, you could just deny Cappies.
Well, no, he wouldn't be denying me. He'd be denying his boss.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
I'm just kidding, Cappy.
It's not me asking. No, it's not me asking. It's the boss.
Cappy, let me ask you this, and before we go on to Davante Adams and what he said today, because it's just airing of grievances day. You think Giannis could play on a team with LeBron?
I would ask the question the other way, which would be, could LeBron play on a team with Giannis?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that.
I have a question about it.
What would be your question?
My question is, does LeBron want to go in and be a piece of somebody's puzzle, or does LeBron always want to be the number one guy?
Well, I think LeBron knows he doesn't want to, he can't be the number one guy anymore. Again, hence why he keeps telling Anthony Davis to be the number one guy.
So you think LeBron thinks that he's not or cannot be the number one guy anymore?
I think LeBron made that I think LeBron and the Lakers made that trade for Anthony Davis, knowing that LeBron was going to age at some point and that they needed a younger person to get him through the not only the challenges of the regular season, but also aid him, much like he did in the bubble, in the postseason. Yes, I do believe that. Yes. And eventually pass the torch to him. It was literally a topic of conversation we did on this station forever.
Yeah, well, he didn't pass the torch. He may have tried to pass the torch.
Right, and Anthony keeps dropping it.
Well, that, and he's like, no, I don't want that torch. You keep that torch.
Or maybe he doesn't want the torch. Right.
Right. Yeah. He's like, hey, LeBron, you know that torch you gave me?
Yeah.
I put it back in your locker, man. You have it. I don't want it.
But like,
you know that some guys, like, in all seriousness, you know, some guys just don't have the personality to be leaders.
They might. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. And that's why I'm saying, if you're the Lakers, you better figure it out quick.
And if what I'm saying is that you've had ample amounts of time to figure it out. You either know, you know the answer.
You know. All right. Devontae Adams. All right, let's do that. You know what? We'll do a short radio Tinder because we got a break. Laura, I don't want to put Laura in a pinch.
We already put her in a pickle.
I mean, whatever. So we're going to put her in. We're going to do a short radio Tinder, and then I'll get to the Raiders thing because Devontae Adams went off. All right, let's find out who we have on the line. Who do we have on the line, young ladies?
We've got Aaron Reese from Inglewood.
All right, Aaron, congratulations. You win tickets to the Rams and Cardinals game. But now here's the real deal. It's Million Dollar Monday, so you get your chance to pick the two teams in the Super Bowl, and you need to pick the correct score. And if you nail the two teams and the score for each team, Cappy's going to drive over to your house and give you a suitcase full of $1 million. You ready?
Right, I am.
Oh, I'm so ready. I would love to see, only if you come too, George. So, yeah.
Okay, I'll be there too. We'll go together. But what do you got? Who are your teams and what's the score?
Okay, so I'm going to go with my Tennessee Titans, and we're going to be playing the Dallas Cowboys 27-24 Titans.
Ooh. Okay, look at that. See, Cappy, you wanted out of the box, and he went out of the box.
Courage. Way to go, dude.
Thank you so much, Captain George. Love you guys. Producer Lindsay, too.
All right, we love you too. Get on hold here real quick. Congratulations on the Rams-Cardinals tickets, and we will hopefully be knocking at your door with $1 million if the Titans beat the Cowboys 27-24. That's it. Look at that, Cappy.
So much
Titans,
love.
Titans, Cowboys.
I love that. So much love. That's real talk right there. Got a lot supposed of love to, for you out there, King.
Supposed to fake talk?
No, real talk.
Oh, okay. Keeping real it 100?
Keeping it 100.
100 emoji?
That's right. It's the red 100. Hunted.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Quickly, Lindsay, Radio Tinder, three questions. Go.
All right. Twitter laid off roughly half of its staff on Friday following Elon Musk's $44 billion acquisition. And now the company is reaching out to dozens of employees who lost their jobs and asking them to come back. Some of those who are being asked to return were laid off by mistake, and others were let go before management realized that their work and experience may be necessary to build all these new features that Elon Musk is trying to, trying to get out there. Mm-hmm. So if this happened to you guys, would you go back to the place that just fired you? Swipe left or swipe right? Sedano.
I guess it just depends on my situation. If I have enough money to survive for a while, like 6 months to a year, then no, I'll give Elon the finger. If I don't, then I will go back, but then immediately quit the first second I have something better to do.
Yeah, I would go back because they fired me on Friday and they're bringing me back on Monday. Now, if they would have given me like a week off, I was like, you know, life's better without this job, but it's fresh. Friday fired, Monday rehired. I'm taking the job back.
I wonder, he said that he claims that he gave everybody like the 3 month, 3 months pay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they get to keep that and then go back to work. Because if that was the case, I would definitely go back.
I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest.
I'd be like, that's my stipulation. I'll come back if you make sure you give me my salary plus the 3 months.
Yeah, I'd negotiate. I'd try my best. Yeah. I mean, Cappy, I feel like you would definitely try to negotiate.
Oh, for sure.
He wouldn't.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you got that right, girl. Mm-hmm. You got that right,
she
girlfriend.
Gets things done. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Let my woman go in there and take care of business.
She'd take care of it. Yeah. She'd be like, Elon, you gotta get in on my Calendly first.
Right. Like for me, I'd be like, yes, I'm taking my job back. Thank you so much for giving my job back. Did I get my health benefits too? Okay, great. But Rachel be like, no, nah. You let him go? No,
he NAH, got, he, nah.
He adds a lot of value. I'm going to start telling you why. She'd make a bunch of stuff up. Be great.
Yeah, right.
All right, next one. So we mentioned this a little bit on Crosstalk, but as you know, right now there's a press conference going on, so I have to bring this up. So Colts owner Jim Irsay announced this morning that the team has fired their head coach Frank Reich, and he named the interim coach none other than ESPN analyst Jeff Saturday. Mm-hmm. So Saturday has no coaching experience in the NFL or collegiate level, which appears, you know, to be a modern NFL first. This has never happened before, but he did coach from 2017 to 2020 at Hebron Christian Academy in Georgia. Nice. Saturday was not on Reich's coaching staff, of course, but there are two former head coaches, Gus Bradley and John Fox, and a couple of other qualified candidates. So it's a very surprising move, and this press conference going on right now is very weird because Jim Irsay just said that not only does he see him being the head coach for the next eight games, but long after that. Do you guys think this was a good move? Swipe left or swipe right? Cappy, you go first.
I'm going to swipe right and say I think this is a great move. God, I love this move. Because whether it works out, I mean, or it doesn't work out, you guys know me. I'm a sensationalist. I love the drama. I love the story. You mean to tell me you're going to take a guy who's just on TV and install him as your head coach and then wait till the offseason when they remove the interim tag and then everybody goes after him because they didn't go through the proper interviewing process and follow the Rooney rules and everything else? How could a guy go from TV directly to head coaching? It's not fair. And whether he wins or he loses, oh, it's a juicy story. I'm all in.
So what is the question you're asking me?
Do you think that this is going to work out?
I hope so for his sake. And honestly, I'm big on out-of-the-box thinking, too. So I'll give you an example. You know, we were talking about LeBron earlier. David Griffin, who was once the GM of the Cavs, is now the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans, who made the Anthony Davis trade. He was a PR guy at one point. Like, literally, the Suns' PR guy. And worked his way through a front office. So, you know, very quickly, I might add. So I kind of like the out of the box stuff. I'm okay with it. So I'm rooting for him, and I say that not only because I like Jeff personally, even though I don't know him super well, but I know him a little bit. I just like kind of the out of the box nature, and everyone just kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah, I don't know him at all, but I just remember everybody losing their minds when John Lynch went from the Fox television booth to the 49ers GM job, and everybody ridiculed him. How could he? You know, he'll never be any good. He doesn't know anything about football other than calling games and what he played. And then the guy has already taken a team to a Super Bowl and, you know, has a team in a good spot so far this year. I like it. I think it's
exciting.
And
his dad hired you.
Well, I worked for his dad's family. I worked for that family for a long, long time. So, of course, yeah. I'm a fan because, you know, it's like a personal thing. But I don't know Jeff Saturday from a can of paint. But I just
you don't
love
know Jeff Saturday
gutsiness.
From Jeff Sunday.
You got that right. Sabado or Domingo.
Yeah.
So, what'd you think about that, Laura? The way I came up with both Saturday and Sunday in Espanol in like a minute.
I love it. Give you 100% props.
Gracias.
She gave you 100 emojis.
100.
Well, we've got less than 2 minutes left, so you guys want to spend this last minute and a half talking about Davante Adams?
Oh, yeah, real quick. Davante Adams, I mean, this dude, he went off, Cappy. And honestly, I don't blame him. But he kind of has no one to blame but himself, right? Like, he decided to go play with his buddy Derek Carr. And it's cool when you're playing with someone in college or whatever, and then you kind of realize, oh, this is a different level. And this level, maybe they need more than just me at this level.
Yeah.
And this organization has been a little bit challenged, let's say, and maybe it needs more than me. Now, again, easier said than done. But then you have that coupled with the fact that Josh McDaniels is caught on the sideline pointing at his head, telling Derek Carr to use his head. Mm-hmm. Not a great weekend for the Raiders.
No. And how about this? If you're Davante Adams, you thought this is your boy, is one of your best friends. I'm going to move to Vegas where it's warm. It's going to be awesome. And then you realize, I always thought Derek Carr was really good. If he just had me, he'd be great. But Aaron Rodgers is a significantly greater quarterback than Derek Carr will ever be in his life.
Yeah.
And even Devontae's at this stage. Finding that out. Yeah, yeah, right. Even as bad as the Packers are, losing to the Lions.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
The clip of Josh McDaniels going at it with Derek Carr, though, I thought was fascinating on a number of levels. Because I'm guessing, you know, since he's gotten the dreaded vote of confidence, he's probably like, maybe I need someone else here at this position.
Maybe I can get Tom Brady.
Hey, by the way, Radio Tinder is presented by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Up your game and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. So, Slee on the Spot is going to be our thing every time Slee comes on game day. He's coming up with the pregame. Happy birthday to Slee. It was his birthday this weekend, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to wish Slee a happy birthday on the air.
Yeah.
I didn't email him either or call him or text him or anything, did you?
But you can. I didn't either, but you could just say it right now.
Happy birthday, Slee.
There you go. Slee on the Spot.
It's my Slee.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? All right, we're done here. Great job, Cappy.
Let's roll.